Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bordy Barn Refugees. I'm Phil Nasons, also known as Fantasy Phil. He's Cha-Cha, also known as Cha-Cha from Section 8. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, Phil. Welcome aboard, like Lenny would say. Section 8 is still hanging tough over there at Lenny Melnick's Fantasy Sports. I haven't done a couple of videos in a while, but I'm sure once baseball season starts rolling along, Phil, I'll knock some down.
A
little
sure
DFS, Phil. A little DFS, you know. We're going to do a little DFS. It's next week, Phil. You get ready? You're feeling it?
I am feeling it. You know, I'm going to do some touts for Lore Michaels over at his site. We have a contract with Fantasy Draft, I guess it is. So I'm getting kind of excited for it. I've got all my drafts out of the way, except I guess I'm in another league. Because of my prowess as a baseball, fantasy baseball analyst.
Yes!
Doubt Wars has asked me to be in their league.
Oh, my goodness.
With Peter Kreiser, and Lore Michaels vouched for me, and Lenny vouched for me. So, you know, it's all good. I'm going to be in Doubt Wars. Next year, I'll be in Tout Wars. I shouldn't say that right now, but it doesn't matter. How are you? Why don't you get into Doubt Wars?
Maybe next year when they have the when everything settles and they do this maybe again at Staten Island. They had it at the Staten Island Yankee Stadium this year. The Tout Wars was done there. And what did they have, about four or five leagues going on the same day, Phil?
They did, yes, and it was fantastic. Andrea Lamont did this. She put this together. She's not getting enough credit for this, by the way. I watched her do it, actually. And she is not getting enough credit for this, and she should. And it's probably going to get me in trouble with my Tout Wars people, but I don't care. That was a lot of work she did, and very few people said anything positive to her about it, at least. And I think she did a great job.
That's the thing. A lot of times, you know, you do all the work. I mean, I know how it is to run things and run reunions and run leagues and be the commissioner, and usually you don't get too much pats on the back. But she did a great job. It really was something I don't think people really realized how nice it was going to be. And the guy over there, I don't know what his name, Alan something, was the guy that runs the joint over there in Staten Island. He was nice enough. I heard they had food all day, and he had them hooked up, and they had locker room. They had the Yankees, actually, the minor league Yankee locker room with everybody's names up on the lockers for their leagues, and with the little Yankee logo on and everything. If you're not a Yankee fan, Phil, I can understand you might not appreciate that. But for the most part, I think it was a cool way to do it, and they had a batting cage. They let people go down in the batting cage and actually swing and take some swings down there. And I know next year, if they let Andrea take charge again, they'll even do it much better. They'll have a little more time to, do it. Maybe, who knows, maybe have a game on the field with some of these Tout War guys. And they better have a lot of insurance, though, I can tell you that much, Phil.
Yeah, you ain't lying there. A lot of insurance. I would have to say a lot of insurance. But Adam is his name, and he did a great job, too. He gave them a lot of extra things that they didn't expect from what I understand, and it worked out perfectly. Just like my book is out, dude. Did you see that?
I'm going to ask you. So you're going to be doing some work for Lorne Michaels,
mm-hmm.
And is that going to be discussed in DFS on a daily basis, like your book?
A couple days a week, and I'll not go through my entire process. I'll try to get the tout up around 2 in the afternoon, unless they're afternoon games, obviously. I'll be working off the main slate is what I'll be doing. And generally, I'll give 3 or 4 pitchers and 6 or 7 value bats. And essentially, using my process, and it'll be on, I think it's going to be on Thursdays and Sundays or Tuesdays and Sundays, twice a week over at creativesports2.com. And if you're playing a fantasy draft, that's the place to be if you want.
New place to be. Yeah, it works. I mean, there's a lot of new places out there, but Fantasy Draft is one of the newer places out there that I don't think you have as many sharks playing in the waters there, so that might be a cool place to try out. And I'm sure, Phil, well, if you do, when you're doing your DFS plays and stuff, what do you think, like, one of the main things that you would say to a new player? What would you say to them? What would you go? Like, if I went to your book, I don't know nothing about DFS, what would be the first thing you say to them? Say, listen, this is what you should read first.
I think the first thing you should do is understand your own research. Come up with your own ideas, because a lot of guys, and I don't want to badmouth anybody, and I'm not going to, but a lot of people, a lot of it's just noise.
Yep.
A lot of times, and I did a study on this on actual people who are in the industry, in the DFS industry, offering daily advice. And I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but I would say that a lot of them don't play their own picks. A lot of times you're going to get people who are going to tell you to play so-and-so because they don't want you to, they don't want you to actually play the person that they're playing. I've heard, I heard a guy actually say this on a Roto Grinder show, is I'll never tell you who I'm really on. And that's the thing that you have to remember is that these touts are also playing against you. Now, I have proof that I play my own picks. I won a GPP with my own picks off my radio show, and I can send that link to anyone who's interested. So actually what I would do is, and in my book, I have a section on, it's called Sort Listening to the Noise or Not Paying Attention to the Noise. I can't remember how it is now because I've done so much work since I wrote the book, but or sorting through the noise. And a lot of it is that expert noise. You know, people want to sign up for premium sites and pay for premium stuff. And that's all well and good, and that's up to you, obviously, but I would use that as a supplement to my own research. If you want to be good at the game, if you want to win money at the game, there's no other way to slice it. You have to do your own research and stick with your own gut instincts.
Yeah.
And then the experts and guys who are writing touts as kind of a guide, okay? Maybe he doesn't like Alex Avila today, and maybe a lot of people don't. You know, maybe that's a good idea to leave him alone, but, you know, or whatever, something like that. But it's on sale right now at $3.99. I think it's worth it. I've had people tell me it's worth it. So you can get it at Amazon, and I wish you all the best out there.
Yeah, you can't beat that. Honestly, I have it. But the good, cool thing about it is, too, that I can read it on my tablet. I can read it on my PC. I got it on my phone.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's easy access to read and go back and look at some of the stuff. You know, I like this stuff that, you know, you wrote about, you know, people like a lot of times don't take into consideration. This is something that, you know, if you do a 2 o'clock DFS show and you're telling people, you know, I mean, you're giving people information at 2 o'clock, but they have to take in effect that the ballpark factors. These are things that are important that you put in the book and the weather. This is something at 2 o'clock. I mean, you might, and that's something I can understand somebody going off a player because let's face it, at 2 o'clock, you may say, you know, this guy's a fantastic pick, but by 6 or 7 o'clock at night, all of a sudden it's 50% chance that it's going to rain or, you know, it's got a chance that this game is going to get postponed. So yes, then I can understand you coming off your play. But if there's absolutely nothing wrong with the field and everything's fine and you say, you know, telling everybody to take, you know, a player, and then you don't. You know, I don't think that's a good way to be a tout in this business. So, you know, sticking with your plays and doing your own homework like you do, and, you know, and guys helping you. I mean, guys like, you know, on the radio and stuff, a lot of that's entertainment. That's not all just, they're not really trying to help you win as much money as you might think.
And that's just it. That's the biggest part of it all. Is you have to be careful. Some of these guys don't even play DFS. I saw one guy who touts DFS stuff that can't even play in his state. He can't even access the roster. I mean, he's working off a spreadsheet. I would say this. I'm not so worried and concerned about guys who don't win because there are guys who are great analysts who don't win because a lot of it is luck.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the end of the day, you get these guys who will tell you, hey, stay off so-and-so because it's going to rain today. Okay, rain is one thing for a pitcher maybe. If a game is – if you think it's going to be delayed or something in the middle of the game, then you probably want to leave your pitcher alone, but the bats you can probably still play unless you've got a very good opportunity to believe that it's going to be canceled altogether. There are great websites for that too. IO Forecast, I guess it's called Dark Sky, whatever. That's a good one. But yeah, the main thing is if you're doing DFS next week, you know, pay attention to your own research, develop your own style, because there are guys out there who are like Cha-Cha says, there are sharks out there. I used to be one of them.
Yeah. And also if you're brand new at DFS, cause hopefully the hobby for me, more people are starting to play it. Go light, you know, you don't have to play, you know, you're going to see a lot of contests out there, especially if you're a first time player, you're going to go into, you know, these websites, FanDuel and DraftKings, are the, you know, the big two. And a fantasy draft now has plenty of baseball that you're going to be able to play. But if you go in and you see a $100,000 prize or you see $50,000 prize and you go crazy, you got a good chance you're going to lose all your money. So you may just want to go in, test the waters. They got free games you can try and play and see how you do. Or if you just want to play for 25 cents, 50 cents, a dollar, $2, and try to get into contests that where you'll see entries levels of less than 1,000 people in each tournament or game, and you have a better chance to win. I mean, you could get, I mean, again, like Phil just said, it is a lot of luck involved. I mean, I've done it myself where 9,999 people, my best friends, I beat one time in my life. But that was luck. That was, I mean, I had good team, yes, but it was luck. You don't beat that many people in a day and not consider it somewhat luck. Yes, there was some skill involved from my point. I've been playing since the beginning. But to tell you I'm going to beat 999 guys every week, come on. I shouldn't be, you know, I that's baloney.
That's hard to do, too. You know, that's the thing. That's
it's nice. It's great when you see that big number coming across. But I got to tell you, folks, another thing you have to remember, like I had to do this year, I had to report that claim to our friends over at the IRS.
Oh, so, yes. 1099s are a bitch in DFS. They really are. But, you know, the thing is what you wanted to remember, and in the book I cover this a little bit, is you have to decide what you want to play, and don't let anybody guilt you into playing these monster tournaments with multi-entry. My thing is this, if you're going to play in a multi-entry tournament, unless you know what you're doing, you better play the maximum amount of entries available. Like, I just fool around with the NBA. I don't even play. I used to do this for a living, and I used to play with other people's money, so it was different. And it was very stressful. And now I just like, yeah, it was horrible. There were nights when I couldn't sleep. It was 36 days in a row I lost at NBA. And that's my main sport. That was tough. So now I just play like a quarter or a dollar and I just have some fun with it. And if I get real close, I smile. And if I don't, I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
And that's the way you should enter your DFS career. Don't give a crap. Develop your system. Pay attention to how much you're losing. I should have put something in there about bankroll management, and I didn't. And I'll
that's your next book, Phil. That's definitely, you can write a book on bankroll management because.
Well, I'm going to expand all this shit.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is do it for the other sports too. And I'm going to put in, I'm not going to say it, but I promise you the football one is going to be amazing. And the hockey one and the basketball one will be amazing. But just like the rest of the show is going to be, because we're going to talk about Alex Avila today.
Well, what I was hoping today is we're trying to help some people. This is it. This is your draft time. This is the end of the ball game. We're getting down to the home stretch here, Phil. And I've already done a few drafts. I'm sure you've done a few drafts. But this is pretty much it. Tonight till opening season next week, we're going to be doing our drafts. And you're going to need players. And some of these guys, you're not going to – these guys that I'm talking about today are guys that aren't getting drafted or probably are not getting drafted in 10-team leagues, these probably guys are not getting drafted probably at all. Last night I did a 14-team league, and these guys were still there. Most of them, if not all of them, were still hanging around. And one of them is Alex Avila. He's a catcher, plays for the Diamondbacks now. I mean, if he's out there and you need a catcher – I mean, he's a guy that's basically going to hit you 14 or 20 home runs. He's around there. He's not going to kill you. He's just regular catcher that bats, you know, like other catchers do. You hope that catchers do hit around 250. And he also qualifies the first base in case you need him in a pinch. So there's a guy, a late round catcher for your people, Alex Avila.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of those guys at the end. You know, the thing is, too, is that people are giving him a hard time and bad-mouthing him because he hasn't hit the ball in spring training. His first at-bat with the Diamondbacks was a home run, and that's the last thing he's done all spring. You know what? This is what he said to the reporter, the beat writer who asked him about it. He goes, you know what? Results in spring training mean nothing. He's absolutely right. This isn't a guy fighting for a job. He has a job. Yeah, the only time you pay attention to those guys and their stats is when they're fighting for a job, because that's usually the determining factor of whether they make the team or not. But a guy like Avila, he's going to get his 400 at-bats. maybe 350, 400, yeah, I should say plate appearances. Yeah, like you said, 14 to 20 bombs. You know, he's all right. Does the humidor effect affect you, though?
I don't even worry about the humidor effect with this guy. It doesn't bother me. He played in Detroit before this. It wasn't the greatest hitting stadium. He's got power, you know. And again, he's going to play, you know, 81 of his games are not at home. Even, you know, what's it going to bother him all that much? I don't think so. You know, I still, if he gets the playing time, which I think he will, I still, again, for a catcher that's not drafted, remember, these guys are not getting drafted. You're going into a draft, you need a catcher. Obviously, if it's a one-catcher league, you can wait. If it's a two-catcher league, which a lot of these leagues are also, he's a lot of times, he might end up being your number one catcher. And those stats in a two-catcher league, that's what you're going to get. You're hoping to get 14 to 15 home runs and a 250 average out of your catcher, your number one catcher. So, you know, I would say he's an easy guy for me to take very almost last in your draft.
Absolutely. You make a good point, too. There's only about three catchers where you're really thinking about their offense, and the rest of them are all playing catch up and plugging spots. I always try to platoon them if I can. People got mad at me or thought I was stupid because I have three catchers on one roster and it's only a one catcher league. No, dumbass. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to platoon them. Because it's a daily switcheroo league, and I'm going to platoon them. It'll take me five more minutes of a week, but I don't give a damn shit. Anyway, listen to this. James McCann. Now, here's the thing about James McCann. He's another guy that, you know, you mentioned to me this week.
Yeah, there's another guy.
He bulked up big time, man. He got so big, even his manager didn't recognize him. He says, I knew he was a big guy, but holy crap. He got so big, he's having trouble throwing the ball, and he's not swinging very well. He hit one bomb, and that's it. What do you do with James McCann? You're not afraid of that, are you?
I'm not afraid of that guy. James McCann's another guy. He's not getting drafted. He's another guy. Again, he's probably, again, for a catcher, he's not going to kill you. He's going to bat about 250, 260, which, again, for a catcher, is something that I'll take any day of the week. And then, again, he's a guy, I mean, if he bulked up, I mean, he was hitting 15 home runs, 15 to 20 home runs, that's his deal. I think anyway. I don't see a problem if you got it. Again, another guy you could take very deep in your draft to give you some quality production. I got no problem taking James McCann, another guy late in the draft. Again, like you said, you're not going to get, if you don't get Sanchez, Gary Sanchez, Buster Posey, and Wilson Contreras, those are the three. I don't think there's anybody else that you're really looking forward to saying, wow, I got this guy as a catcher. So it drops off pretty big after those three.
Well, that's just it. And so I don't get, you know, but then again, people don't get it. They think that they're geniuses, and they tell you that James McCann is a bad play, but James McCann is not a bad play. Neither is Alex Avila. Because if you're punting catchers, now I know a lot of guys who punt catchers, and that's fine. I mean, and especially, I'll tell you what, if you go back to DFS talk, you get a guy like Alex Avila, and he's going up against a right-hander, a gas can, a fly ball pitcher. You plug him in at $2,200, and he could hit you two bombs.
You know, Phil, it's funny because when you say this is the funny thing about being a DFS guy like you are and that I am when it comes to DFS. You name, like, I could tell you the stats for Alex Avila like I just did, what I think he's going to do. But when you told me Alex Avila and you said DFS, you know what came to my mind, Phil?
What's that?
$2,200 for DFS. That's exactly what I thought. I said, he's my $2,200 cheapie for the night.
Yep. No, there you go.
He is.
That's exactly right.
He's the guy I always plugged in. If a righty's on the mound, unless it's Max Scherzer, but if a righty's on the mound, 99% of the time, I look for a guy like him because he's the kind of guy on any given night, $2,200 catcher or $2,200 player. We don't care what he's a catcher. But he's a $2,200 play that can hit not one home run, but two home runs. And two home runs in DFS on any given night is cash, baby, cash.
Especially when you got a guy like Alex Avila, because no one ever picks him up. And so he might be like 1% owned. Even if he hits one bomb, that's cash. Two bombs, it's big cash.
Yeah. Two bombs in the rest of your lineup, you know, does okay. You should win some money. One bomb, hey, listen, $2,200. If you get a single and an RBI from a guy, you're going, yeah, all right, yeah.
Or a couple of walks, even, you know, and that's one thing. Walks. Alex Avila, McCann, he's a walker too. You know what? He gets on base sometimes, but here's the deal. I love watching these guys with the 2200. You know, somebody said to me about, remember that, you know, that Justin Mason League, and I can't even remember the name of this thing, this Great Baseball Invitational. Maybe that's what it is. It is at Fantrax. I know that part. But at the end of the day, somebody said, you have a contrarian roster. No shit, idiot. I play DFS. I'm not thinking about what you're thinking about. I'm thinking about scrapping together a lineup. I don't care about ADP. I don't care about anything. I say it's Travis Shaw. He was my fourth pick. You know why? Because that dude rakes and he steals bases. And I can use both. And that's what I did. But anyhow, let's move on. CJ Cron.
Yeah, there is another guy in Philly. CJ Cron. Cron, whatever the hell his name
Cron,
is.
He got Cron. Traded,
right? He was on the Angels. Never really got, full time on the field. But he always was powerful. He's not a bad, going to kill you with average. Another guy's going to bat about 260, 265. The guy's probably going to hit 20 home runs. Another guy. He's on the bench. He's late. He's probably not even getting picked. And last night, he didn't get picked, I don't think, in another league, my 14-team league. I don't even think he got picked. And he's going to give you 20 home runs. If he plays a whole season, maybe he gives you 25 home runs, drives in 70 runs, and he's not going to kill you. Another guy that I could consider. Plus, he's going to cost you nothing. In an auction league, he costs you a dollar. And if you're playing, again, we go back to DFS, he's another guy. $2,200, $2,300 power hitting first baseman that can hit one or two home runs and win you a tournament, win you some money.
Big money. He's another guy. See, this is the difference. And here's the thing. I play in leagues that are daily switcheroos. So this is, to me, that DFS mindset really works for me. And I understand platoons and platoon splits and all that other stuff. I pay attention to useful stats, not stats like launch angle. By the way, I got to tell you, I was over at the Akron Rubber Duck Stadium picking up my media credentials so I could eat good. And plus, one of the people that works there, one of the Ezacs, is a DFS guy. And I had lost his email, so I was going to send him a copy of the book. Because it's only digital, because I didn't really know how to format it to make it a paperback. But I promise you the football one will, because I had time. But here's the, so anyway, I asked him, I said, what about these stats that you look at? He goes, what stats? What are you talking about? He goes, I'm the one who showed you what was useful. Don't you remember? I said, yeah, 4 years ago, he told me. He goes, this thing called launch angle. He goes, that don't mean a damn thing. Because here's the thing. If I know a pitcher or a hitter is going to swing up, I'm telling my pitchers to go up high. He goes, this is what he said. He says, these stat nerds out there, they think that we're not as smart as they are. They think that we're not smart enough to tell our pitchers to throw up in the strike zone. And if guys are swinging up and if they take, I'd rather see my guy give up a walk than a three-run bomb. He goes, you're going to see that that's going to make a difference. And Irwin, Lenny's partner, said a few weeks ago to us that he heard them say the same thing. They're asking their pitchers to throw up higher in the zone. So there you have it. There's my little tidbit for the day. But CJ Cron, whatever. He's $2,100 usually, $2,200, yeah. And he's another double dong potential.
Yeah, he's cheap as shit.
I'm having fun with this show now, Cha-Cha.
because you confuse DFS into your season long leagues. A lot of it, I don't lose touch with my season long leagues because I play DFS. I enjoy both, and it helps me. Playing DFS helps me in season long, and season long helps me with DFS.
Absolutely.
It doesn't hurt me either way. I don't think it hurts me. Man, I enjoy both.
I fuse
it into both.
But when I'm in a week long league, though, that gives me a harder time. I don't care so much about that league, but. But at the end of the day, when I'm doing my research,
when you're talking about a week-long league, Phil, is that a league where you have to put your team in on Sunday night,
yeah,
and then that's it? That's your whole team for the rest of the week, correct?
Yeah, you get to make your pickups on Sunday, but you have to set your roster on Monday before the first game, I think is what it is.
No moves for the whole week.
You got to do everything before Sunday at a certain time. That's a toughie. So you get a lot – and I'm a streamer, in season long leagues, I like to do that because again, it feels, this is why I've had some success. I wouldn't call myself the Howard Hughes of DFS or anything, but there were people who swear by my work. And I will say this, I have never in my life benefited more as far as streaming goes than pitchers. I learned so much about pitching from DFS, from my research from DFS. And vice versa. I used to write this streaming article, and like I said, I'm a big streamer in season long leagues, and I learned a lot from doing that, and that I fused that over to DFS. I'm
Yeah,
telling you, you
I'm
people
like
who
yourself. I like leagues like you said that you can make moves on a daily basis, and that you can stream pitches and the strategies. There's a lot of strategy and not on a day-to-day basis, and the other league, not that I don't like it. I mean, I play in them too because I guess that's like almost the industry standard. A lot of these, that's the way I guess it was, where you just put a team in and that's it for the whole week. I don't personally enjoy that as much, but I think that's from, I guess, the old school guys started that. And but in today's world, I guess I don't think it's gonna. It's not something that the new generation of daily fantasy players or season-long players, I think, are gonna enjoy. I think they're gonna enjoy the daily play and the daily moves in a season-long league. I think is people want action. They want action. They want something every day. It's hard to wait a week to see how your team's doing.
Exactly. And they want action. And I like it that way. I'm very happy with it, to tell you the truth. At the end of the day, I'm happy with the whole thing. I'm happy doing this show with you. By the way,
Same here, buddy.
we got to talk about some other players too. I wanted to talk about some fantasy experts and start calling them out, but we'll wait for another week for that.
Oh.
Oh, Jose Martinez, he's another one people are saying, well, what are you picking up him for? Why would they pick him
Jose
up?
Martinez. Well, because he's got a chance to be. He's possibly going to get a lot of time at first base for the Cardinals,
Right.
and if he does, another guy. He's not going to hurt you. An average. Matter of fact, he's probably going to hit around 270. He's got a lot of pop, and you might. I mean, not even be 270. I mean, I'm giving 270 at his lowest point. I mean, the guy actually could pack closer to 300. He's got a guy that's not going to hurt your average. Going to help you in home runs. Help you in RBIs. He's not going to play every day. If he does play every day, which is a possibility, Matt Carpenter hasn't been he's been banged up a little bit, then maybe he can do you right and get you 25, 80 RBIs for a guy that's very rarely do I see him go either very, very late or almost not at all in a draft.
There you go. I like him too. He's another one. And I was reading in the St. Louis paper earlier today, and they are trying to find him at bats because he's having a pretty good spring. And the fact of the matter is, he's not outside of their top eight in terms of skill, in terms of production. They know what they have there. They're going to find him some time. And if they can't find him time, you watch. They will make a trade, and he will be that guy. He's 29. He's basically given them what the organization has spent on him so they can make a trade. And Jose Martinez is a good baseball player.
He's not a stiff.
He's
He's
not
not
a
a stiff,
stiff.
Phil. He's not a stiff. He's not a DH. He can play first base and he can play the outfield. That helps a lot too. That they could, like you said, he could swing a little bit if he's hitting, especially if he's hot, hiking to take him out of the lineup. But he could play the corner positions in the outfield and he could play first base. So I think you're right. I think he's going to get more playing time than we think, and give you numbers, man. That's what you're looking for, numbers.
You're giving your numbers. And if you're in a team in a league of like 12 or 14 teams, then you have to play him. He's not going to win a golden glove or gold glove, that's for sure.
No,
But
that's for
here's
sure.
the thing, though. But his glove won't keep him off the field.
Right. He's that's like you said. He's not that DH. Like he's like, oh man, he's 29 years old. He shouldn't be on the Cardinals. He probably should be better served in the American League as a DH. No, he can play the field. Again, he's not stellar, but again, he looks like he's. I mean, he's been doing a halfway decent job when he's get his playing time, and if he plays on a full-time basis, I mean, sometimes you play guys and they show their true colors, but this guy seems like he's going to be a 280 to 300 hitter with power.
There you
You
go.
get him
That's
for
all that
nothing.
matters. Get them for nothing. You know who else you can get for nothing? And someone I'm kind of thinking about. He's on every waiver wire that exists in every one of my leagues. It's Mark Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
The kid from Pikeville, Kentucky.
He's the poor guy can't get a job, Phil. Can you imagine that, Phil? The guy goes out and hits 30 home runs, almost drives in 100 runs last year, and the poor guy, he can't even get a job.
Now, and they were using a humidor in Colorado last year, and he still did all that.
It's amazing. I mean, this guy at one point in his career, I mean, he was with the Diamondbacks. He was strikes out like nobody's business. Don't get me wrong. But the guy hit 40 home runs. I mean, the guy was even stole a few bases back in the day. I mean, we're not asking for that today. All we're asking is put up a sign somewhere. Maybe he's got to walk around in front of some of these ballparks. Say, I need a job.
No kidding. You know, like the homeless guys and the guys with I'll work for food. Yeah, hold up a sign. Come on, hold up a sign, Reynolds. Let's go.
It's amazing. You know, it's funny because there was a guy in the Yankee side of the list. I can't think of his name. He was on the Astros or something a couple of years ago. I forget it. Move on. I screwed up. I forgot his name, but I think he hit 40 home runs also, and he was with the Yankees last year in the beginning of the year. I forgot his name.
I can't remember. Guy. You're talking to the wrong guy.
No. He hits like 40 home runs a year. The year before the Yankees. Lenny, help me.
Yeah, he's not even there. We made him disappear. But you know, you talk about a guy who had a great year. In 2009, I'm looking at his numbers. He had 44 bombs. He had 102 RBIs. He had 30 doubles. He had 24 stolen bases. That's an incredible season.
He's been a solid player for many years. I mean, he had a couple of injuries here and there. But again, Philly, guy had 30 home runs, 97 RBIs. And not one team in baseball gives him a job. It's amazing.
Because he wants to, but you know what it is.
What does he want? He just wants to. What does he want? Put it this way: take his name away, all right? Take his name away, and put Starling Marte's name: 30 home runs, 97 RBIs this year. If Starling Marte or Michael Brantley, if they could do that this year, so either one of them, that'd be a great year for them.
That would be a great year for them.
This poor guy, Mark Reynolds, he's the forgotten man. Not that he just can't get a job. I can't get it. But anyway, as far as helping you guys out, he might be a guy that finally gets a job and is on your bench. If he's like the last guy on your bench and, you know, ends up playing with somebody, gets a DH job or something. He's got power. He can help you.
You draft him at the end of your draft. Hey, if you draft him at the end of your draft, you could trade him for a pitcher when he gets the chance.
You get something from him. I mean, the guy plays, he hits home runs, he drives and runs. That's what he does.
And and he should be doing that for some team very soon. Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yeah, the old.
He's going to bat leadoff, apparently. So they say.
Well, that can't hurt. If he bats leadoff for the Mets, and he's another guy. You could get him for nothing. I mean, I've seen him at well, 10-team draft, forget it. They don't even mention his name. In the 14-team draft, same thing. He's just went right by the board. Not a soul takes him. But there he is. Same story. Hits double-digit home runs. He's going to drive close to probably 55, 60 RBIs. And he doesn't hurt you in average. He bats 275, 285. And if he leaves off for the Mets, hey, who knows? Maybe this year he'll give you about 75 runs. So maybe that's not – if he bats leadoff, I mean, that's something – if that ends up being the case, he's a steal.
I read it at the New York Post the other day, so I think it could be true.
Oh, it's got to be true then because I get
– Yeah, got to be true if it's in the Post.
I get the Post, Phil, actually, believe it or not.
Do you really? What do you find so – what do you find entertaining about the Post?
Was it page 6?
Oh, I love page 6.
Page 6. Actually, I had a pretty good article today about the Knicks today. I got to give them that. But the Knicks trying to possibly picking up Leonard from San Antonio.
Oh, I heard that. You know, this is fine. I'm glad that you brought this up.
Yeah, go ahead, man. My bad.
Yes, get back into my wheelhouse here. Now I feel good. I'm getting a Woody. You get to talk about basketball.
Kawhi Leonard, hit it.
Kawhi Leonard is, you know, the one thing I must say, and I wrote for a site called Pounding the Rock, which is a Spurs site. I did that while I was in Greece.
Okay.
And one thing that I learned about the San Antonio Spurs, and these guys that I worked with had media credentials and were able to go to the games and talk to the coach and everybody else, is that organization keeps things tight-lipped. Now, I was one of the very first people who said Kawhi Leonard was going to be a star in the NBA. I love when he played at Arizona State and or San Diego State, and he played for the Steve Fisher, who used to coach the Michigan team. I
Okay.
really enjoyed watching that kid play. And I got to kind of know him a little bit in the last couple seasons. I don't believe any of that shit that's coming out of there. He's one of the guys that Greg Popovich is the only reason Greg Popovich is still coaching is to coach Kawhi. The only reason Kawhi is there is because of Coach Popovich. The
Really?
big problem there is there's a disconnect, is that he got hurt and now something else has gone wrong. My Spurs guy told me Kawhi is a good kid, and I think he is too. Like I said, I've gotten to know him a little bit.
Sure.
The thing is this, is that he had some help getting in shape this off season, some family help, and he listened to the family member, and now something's wrong. And so he's afraid to go back out on the court, and rightly so. He's one of the top five players in the NBA. He has the opportunity to sign a Supermax contract this season, and he's going to do it. He's going to stay with San, he'll
I was
stay
gonna
with the
say,
Spurs.
I was hoping you're gonna the next words out of your mouth were, and he's gonna sign it with the Knicks. As a
Never.
Knicks fan, I would pray that the Knicks could get somebody like him.
I'll
But it
tell
ain't
you
gonna
what.
happen, Phil, right?
If it, no, it's not going to happen. And if it did, I would get my gig back and cover the Knicks and sleep outside the garden and live in a tent
I'd
if
watch
Kawhi
the
Leonard would come back.
Oh, that would be fantastic,
But
man.
here's what the rumor
Not
is,
that you live
though.
in a tent, Phil, but that the Knicks could get Kyrie Leonard.
I could do that there, though, because the food in the media room at the garden is second to none. They serve sushi, plus there's that Greek restaurant across the street.
You can't starve there, Phil. Hey,
You ain't gonna
give
starve there, huh?
them pretzels on the ground. Those pretzels are $6 a piece, Phil. I'd eat one right off the floor for $6 a piece.
You know what I used to do? I used to take a Tupperware bowl from the Hamptons,
Hell yeah.
and I would fill it up with sushi. And because the thing is if you finish the if the game and the interviews finish after 10:30, you have to wait until 1:30 or 2 o'clock to catch the next train back to the Hamptons. So I would be hungry. So I would go to the Greek bar, drink a little bit, and then eat the sushi on the way back on the train and get back at 5 in the morning. It was terrible.
I'd be like you, buddy. I'd take my little hanky. I don't know if anybody knows what a hanky is, but something you blow your nose with. I take a hanky. I throw a couple of sushi things in there and wrap it up, throw it in my pocket, so I got something, just in case I need to nosh on.
Well, there you go. That's just it. But that's part of the life of a credential writer. Fantasy analysts aren't going to be able to tell you that. So, anyway, so it's Drupal Cabrera.
Back to baseball, for
Back
people.
to baseball.
Let's from sushi to Colton Wong, right?
Colton, yeah,
He
that's a
knows
perfect
about, you know,
segue.
he knows a
That's
little bit about
radio there.
sushi, right? Colton Wong? Colton Wong, everybody's favorite. I assume
See,
somebody's knocking on the door. I can't answer it. I'm right now. I'm in the middle of my fantasy podcast. Sorry.
Well, that's just it. Leave Cha-Cha alone while we're trying to work.
I can't help you. But no, Colton Wong, second baseman for the Cardinals. Another guy, no respect, doesn't get drafted. Listen, another guy, if he plays every day, he's going to give you double-digit homers, double-digit steals, and he's not going to kill your batting average. So there's a guy you could pick up very late in the draft, Colton Wong.
Colton Wong is another one for DFS that always goes under-owned, underappreciated, and he gets around 13, 14 points at the time. Sometimes he'll hit a home run and steal a couple bases, and he wins you money. And I don't understand why people don't like to win money and use these kind of players. They'd rather spend more money for less. And that's the other thing that you're going to learn in DFS. It's a beautiful thing. When I pick first in a season-long league, I have no qualms about picking Mike Trout. But I got to tell you this, he's expensive in DFS, and he costs you. And those nights when he takes the collar and goes 0 for 4, because yes, even Mike Trout does, you are going to lose your ass that night.
Yeah, I don't make it a habit of taking the heaviest salary players on a given night, because they do, they take up all your salary, then you end up with all a lot of second class citizens. You can take the Alex Avias and the CJ Cron's of the world, for 2200 2300 here
And
and
what
there.
does he win, Alex?
Alex wins your money.
Yeah, there you go. That's all you want to play for. But the thing
That's
is,
it.
and here's the other guy who will win you money this year is Derek Dietrich. Now, I read down south there, he's the Lone Ranger left,
Yeah,
supposedly.
he didn't ask to get traded either. He's one of the few guys that said, you know what? the hell with all you guys. You can all leave. Take
I'll
a
keep
walk.
The groupies to myself. There are a
I'm
lot
fine.
Of
yeah. Yeah. He says, I'll stay in Miami and I'll bet. I'll play, get a regular gig. And Derek Dietrich is another guy of DFS darling who, and if you take, he's helped me out many a times in DFS too. Got power. He plays second, he plays third, plays the outfield. Another guy is going to give you double digit home runs. He's probably, and this year, if he plays as much as he's going to play, he's probably going to drive in close to 70 runs. He's not going to give you a great average, but he's another guy. He's going to bat about 250, but never gets drafted. Derek Dietrich, another guy. Plug him in.
They project him to slug 426 this season. You don't want to play him for $2,100 or $2,300 or $2,500?
For DFS, he's an easy play for me. I don't even have to. He's one of the guys. Believe it or not, you're just talking about Mike Trout. When I look at my DFS scorecard, I'm going, Derek Dietrich, 2,100. Mike Trout, 4,600.
5,000.
Right, that's 5,000. I just move on. I take Derek Dietrich and I build my lineup. I don't build my lineup around Mike Trout. I build my lineup around Derek Dietrich, believe it or not.
And then I throw me – and see, and unlike a lot of GPP guys, I'm going for the best pitcher I can find. I'll spend that money.
Yeah. No, you got to – I think you have to spend on your pitcher. That's the one thing in DFS that hasn't changed for me, and hopefully that's – I mean, if you're going to play, like people say, contrarian, you want to play. But not only when it comes to pitcher. You want your best – pitching your best matchup for that night. I want to take my best 16 touts, and hopefully, you would think that most people would know who the best pitcher is that night, especially if you're a tout per se. But sometimes these guys are giving you guys, take Jeremy Hellickson tonight because he's going against the Padres. I'm like, no, you could take Jeremy Hellickson. I think, I'm looking at Corey Kluber.
Yeah, or Max Scherzer, and I'm looking at 45, 50 points.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of want. Because here's the thing, too. This is the thing about DFS. And if you're playing in a points league, it's the same thing. The guy with the highest amount of points wins. And if I'm going to play, let's say I want to play Jeremy Hellickson tonight on the same night that Corey Kluber's pitching. Now, what are the chances? Now, I'm going to have to spend about $4,000 more, but I'm going to get 7 more strikeouts. So there's my 28 points right there, 21 points right there. So adios to you, Mr. Hellickson. No offense. But
yeah, I know.
Because here's the thing. That pitcher is more of a sure thing than the hitters ever will be. So you always want to get that pitcher right. That's the key. You know who you want to – but Derek Dietrich is another one. He's going to play more than people think because he started in left field, and that's where they're penciling him in. So he's got all kinds of eligibility, and he's going to be a fantastic pickup in season-long league. He's going to be great in DFS, and God bless you for him. I love that guy.
No, he's a DFS guy. He's definitely, as far as season long goes, you got to plug him in here and there. He's not the kind of guy you're going to probably play every day. Maybe his warts are all going to come out now because if he does get a regular gig, maybe we're going to see the true Derek Dietrich. Maybe for season long, he might, again, you got to pick and choose. If you're playing daily, you put him in. When he's always going up against a not the greatest right-hander in the world. And then when you're playing him during the season, in a season-long league, same thing. You pull him in and out. If he's a tough pitcher, you don't put him in that day. You put a better guy in, or you put your righty guy in there. You can put your C.J. Cron in there that day.
Well, that's just it. You got to
hopefully employ the Mark Reynolds that day.
See, it's not about who has the most studs and who gets the most points. And you can run a platoon. If you're in a daily league, you can run platoons and draft for platoons. Use streamers. Don't be afraid and don't be shy. You don't have to worry about their ADP. Go for guys who can play that you know can play and rack up the points and freaking win. What do people have against winning? I don't get it. Well, they're groupies.
It feels good. No, but that's what you got to do. You got to look at the matchup. There's lots of days when there's guys that, their averages are 240 and their averages are 230, 220. And you say to yourself, boy, that guy sucks. But, dude, today he don't suck. Matchup is golden. So you take, your Lucas Duda and you put him in there. He's batting 220. We don't care. DFS, he goes two for five, home run and a double. Hey, thank you very much, Mr. Duda. Appreciate it.
Even in a season-long league or roto league, even if he sinks you a little bit in batting average, Aren't you going to get enough points for that home run and double to make up for it?
Again, like you said, that's the day. If you got daily plays, so Lucas Duda doesn't play every day for you. You don't have to play him every day of the week. You put him in when he's got good matchups. If he for the week, if he goes 3 for 11 for you with 2 home runs, it's a good week.
It's a good week. It's a great week, and that's how you win.
That's how you win.
That's why with me. And that's with any sport you play in fantasy. You're trying to get the most points. So you have to be smart about it. And that's the key. Now, we got some shortstops here. Freddie Galvis, Brandon Crawford, and Chris Owings. Those guys nobody's looking at either. Now, I understand people are saying, Freddie Galvis, really? Freddie Galvis won me a GPP. He against lefties, he's golden.
Yeah, Freddie Galvis is another guy. Last year, I was in a big money league for season long. And Freddie Galvis was for the longest time, he was on the waiver wire, 15-team league. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, guys need steals. Guys need a guy that's a halfway decent bat. And I didn't even realize he was out there. I was looking, going through the waiver wire, and I was like, why doesn't anybody, he must be hurt, right? Galvis must be hurt. So, you know, I had a partner with me. I said, listen, why don't we pick up Freddie Galvis? And he's going, Freddie Galvis, he's not on the waiver wire. I'm like, yeah, he is. He goes, what? I go, yeah, you know. I said, listen, I'm going to bid $2 from this week. It's a, you know, free agent league. You got to bid money. He goes, yeah, maybe we have to bid a little more. I said, nah, nobody's going to pick him up. He helped us to win the league. He's one of the guys. I mean, not that he was the core of my league, but he's the kind of guy, double-digit home runs, double-digit steals. I mean, he bats high in the order, gives you a lot of runs, you know. So he's a good little player.
He's a very good little player.
I never get drafted. No guy doesn't get drafted. Same with Brandon Crawford. Guys gets no respect. I mean, zero respect. Drives in every year. 75 runs. 75 runs. Look at his baseball card. Drives in 75. Again, another guy bats 250, but drives in a lot of runs. Hits double-digit home runs. Now, and he's free.
Well, that's just it. You know, there's these things. They're called platoon splits. And you really should look at them. I mean, honestly, look at the platoon splits. You can get them at Fangraphs. You can get them anywhere, really. And if you look, like Brandon Crawford is another one in DFS. Brant, look at it. Look at his numbers against righties as opposed to lefties. I mean, it's not even close. He's going to hit more home runs off these righties, and he's a good hitter. He's not a great hitter, but the thing is if you're looking at these things and you see these guys and you say, you know what? Okay. So I've got this Freddie Galvis who crushes lefties, and I've got Brandon Crawford who crushes righties. I've got a full-time shortstop who are going to outdo your one shortstop.
Right.
I think.
And you got to look at the lineups. Like if you're playing DFS in the morning, I mean, whenever during the day, and you're looking at who to pick up, look at the lineup. Last year, San Francisco was banged up. So many guys were hurt. So all of a sudden, you look at Brandon Crawford. Some days you'll see Brandon Crawford batting second, third, fourth. You know, so now he's going to get now when you're playing him in DFS, you know he's going to get his 4 at-bats. So that's another thing. If a guy's batting 8th in the order, which Brandon Crawford, you may say, well, he's probably batting 8th. He's not, you know, and they don't even walk the guy to get to the pitcher. So you're not going to get the at-bat. You want the at-bats. You want at-bats in DFS. You want guys to have a chance to give you production. And when you look at the lineup, some days you're going to see. You're going to see like a Freddie Galvis batting 2nd. You know, maybe with the Padres last year with the Phillies, a lot of days, Freddie Galvis is leading off. Freddie Galvis batting 2nd. He's going to steal you some bases. Stealing bases is another thing. Got to look on some of your DFS sites and some of your season longs now with point systems because they're giving you points for your steals. And if Freddie Galvis is stealing you 1 base, 2 bases, and a DFS, and it's 5, I don't know, some sites might be 2 points, 3 points, 5 points for a stolen base. Some sites, you've got to be careful. A home run might be worth the same as a stolen base. So a guy like Freddie Galvis might be worth as one of the best home run hitters on a given day. You got to look at your site. You got to make sure you're looking at all the sites that you play at and look at the rules and regulations before you're putting guys in also.
Well, that's just it. You know, the kid, that Tatis kid, he's probably coming up, but not too far. So Galvis is going to be your guy. That's the thing. When you get these shortstops, the majority of them are going to play, get their full complement of at-bats, no matter what the relief pitcher situation is. They very rarely get pinch hit for, and it is what it is. Yeah. So you have to kind of put that in mind too. And you got Chris Owings too. And I don't get the Chris Owings hate. There was a point last year where he was the best hitter on the Diamondbacks at home last season until the All-Star break, I thought. I think that's it was.
He was. Yeah, he was banging the ball pretty well.
Banging the ball. See, that was a basketball guy coming up with that stuff.
Yeah, there you go, Phil. No, you're right. He was. He was. Matter of fact, for my own, you know, going out there, I was trying to do my drafts last season. He was one of the guys I was trying to go after, and I didn't get him. And when I was trying to trade for him, every single owner had a gun to my head. Everybody wanted, you got to give me a top pitcher. You got to give me a top this guy. I'm like, Chris Owings, nobody would even want to take him. And all of a sudden now I'm trying, they want my second best pitcher, or they want my number one relief pitcher for this guy. I'm going, but he's never done anything. He said, well, but he's, I realized he could be a good play, could be. And he was putting up the numbers, but I said, gee, I can't give up a number two pitcher for him or my number one closer. But when you look at Chris Owings, he's a solid player.
Solid.
Solid. I mean, he's going to, again, another guy, not going to hurt you in average, going to give you double-digit steals. He's got power. And he's going to play. He plays second base. He plays shortstop. He plays the outfield. He's going to play with the Diamondbacks this year. He's another guy. Like you said, last year, the beginning, he went off. He was having a fan battle. But he's another guy, like you said, Phil, I would consider to definitely, he's down.
Well, that's just it. But people write him off. He's going to be a very good utility player.
Did you have to?
Yeah, that's his thing. He's going to be
a good player. He's still a little player.
A great, yeah, and he's perfect for what you need. If you need a utility guy, somebody who's dual eligible, somebody who's going to get you some stolen bases, who's going to fill in for people, who's going to plug in those gaps. Because the guys don't play 162 games. I hate to break your hearts, but they just don't. And you need guys like him. And he was banging the ball last year. He's a great guy for DFS. Another guy who got overlooked. And the first time that I heard that was on Lenny Mullick's podcast, in fact. He said Chris Owings has the most RBIs of any Diamondback at home. And I said, holy crap. And he was 2,300, and I put him in. You know, that's how it works.
No, that's the thing, especially in the beginning of the year. I mean, you'll see Chris Owings probably more than less. Like he's probably so low valued in the beginning of the year, a guy that you can grab in DFS. And obviously, like I said, he hasn't been drafted in my 10-team league. He didn't get drafted. 14-team league, he may have got drafted in the 25th round. That's deep, man. That's pretty deep for a guy that can give you double-digit steals and double-digit homers. And he's not going to kill you in batting average. So, you know, he's out there, folks. Chris Owings, he's still alive.
Cargo is going to start in right field, and people don't want to draft him either.
He's totally forgotten, Phil. Carlos Gonzalez, that guy's name, you can hardly hear it anywhere. His name doesn't come up in auctions. His name doesn't come up in talk. We don't talk about him on any Melick's fantasy voice. Sports site at all. He's just been slowly forgotten. And this ain't that long ago. He was like a number top 15 batter. You know, now you can get him for nothing. He's another guy. Get him for absolutely beans. I mean, what do you think, Phil? You think he's still got something left? You think he can give you 20, 25 home runs this year?
He's going to start right field. I think the Colorado, more, it's not about what I think. It's about what the Colorado Rockies think. You know, they know more about it than I do.
They play him.
They're going to play him.
If they play him every day, right? If they play him, well, you know, and again, he wasn't terrible last year. I mean, you're going to get him. He's your fifth outfielder. He's your fourth outfielder. If he's anything like the old Carlos Gonzalez, it's gold. And a DFS darling this year, I'm sure. We'll be plugging him in there.
I guarantee you I will be, because this is just
I will be.
He's one of those guys. He's a high risk, sure, but he's a high reward. And he had an off year last year, but that was the first year he was off. Well, okay, 2016 he wasn't so good either, but still.
He's been banged up, Phil. That's the thing, but he's still got some power. And in DFS, he's probably more likely to help you than in season long, because he's probably, with all the outfielders they have and all the guys they have, they're going to be rotating guys around. I don't think Carlos Gonzalez is going to get, like he used to get, you know, high 500 at bats and stuff. He's probably way down now. He's lucky if he gets 400 at bats this year, that would be more likely 450 if he doesn't get hurt again. You're getting it for nothing, Phil. He's not, you don't have to worry about it. By the time you're drafted, your team is almost full. You got a full squad. Your outfield is almost done. Okay, oh, look, Carlos Gonzalez is on the board. I'll take a shot.
Yeah, that's it. Or he might be on your waiver wire, for all you know. Yeah, it was a great job today, my friend.
Walk and grab that DFS book. It's still time, and you can use it through the whole season.
You can use it through the whole season. I appreciate that. You can find it at Amazon. You can find Cha-Cha over at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports. You can find him on YouTube. Those videos are fantastic. You got to pick him up. You can find me just about anywhere if you're looking for NBA, because I'm still doing NBA. For Cha-Cha, I'm Fantasy Phil. We want to thank you for listening to 40 Barn Refugees.